Shalom, this is Rabbi Paul Saul from Congregation Shuv Yisrael in West Hartford, Connecticut, and I'd like to take a few minutes to share with you some thoughts from Parshat Shalach Lecha, which can be found in Numbers chapters 13 through 15. There's no question that these are really unsettling days. The headlines seem endlessly violent, especially in the Middle East. There's growing instability and a troubling resurgence of anti-Semitism, not just on the fringes, but in mainstream of public discourse and politics. It can feel like we're standing on the edge of something very ominous. The words of Yeshua echo in our minds. In the end of days, there will be wars and rumors of wars. But then again, when has that not been true? When has the world not been trembling somewhere? Perhaps what Scripture is really telling us is that our so-called last days may stretch on for many generations. The question is not when the end will come, but how we are meant to live in such a time. Today's portion from the Torah, Shalach Lecha, along with the Parat HaTorah from Joshua chapter 2, tells the story of two generations on the edge of the Promised Land. Each sends spies to assess the enemy and the terrain. Each is on the brink of a great battle. Each must decide whether to believe in their fears or in the faithfulness of God. In Numbers 13, God sends 12 tribal leaders to scout the land. They all see the same geography, the same cities, the same adversaries. But 10 of them return filled with dread. They say, "We look like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we appeared to them." Their vision of themselves was so small that even the promise of God could not lift them up. 40 years later, in the Haftorah, Joshua sends two spies into Jericho. They find themselves in a precarious situation, hiding on a rooftop, pursued by the king's men. But something surprising happens. They hear from Rahab, the Canaanite innkeeper, that the hearts of the people are already melting in fear. She said, "I know the Lord has given you this land." The difference is striking. The first group saw defeat, the second saw victory. Not because the situation had changed, but because they were looking through the eyes of faith, not fear. In Proverbs 21, 30 and 31, it says clearly, "There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord." Yes, we do prepare. We advocate, we defend, we mourn, and we organize. We show up with truth and courage, but we do not place our trust in horses or headlines. We place our trust in the God who sees the whole battlefield and whose purposes cannot be overturned. The battle truly belongs to Hashem. The knowledge should give us confidence, but it also raises a question. If God is the author of the outcome, what role do our choices play? The answer lies not in knowing every twist of the story, but in trusting the one who writes it with us. Again, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, we're reminded, "A man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way?" Life as we experience it often feels confusing, or perhaps even random. We can't always trace the path, let alone control it. That can lead to discouragement, especially when we look back and see missteps, lost time, or wrong turns. John Quincy Adams once confessed, "My life has been spent in vain and idle aspirations and in ceaseless rejected prayers that something beneficial to my own species should be the result of my existence." That aching desire to have made a difference, to have mattered, is something we all feel. But how we deal with that sense of regret or failure is crucial. Literature gives us two very vivid examples, Oedipus and Raskolnikov. Oedipus, the tragic king of Thebes, tried to outrun a prophecy that he will kill his father and marry his mother. Despite his efforts, he fulfills it unknowingly. When the truth emerges, he's devastated. Though he had no malicious intent, he takes full responsibility and blinds himself. His story is one of over-responsibility, bearing guilt for what he could not have prevented. It is a despairing view that leaves no room for mercy or for divine grace. On the other hand, Raskolnikov, in Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, murders an old woman under the delusion that he's acting for the greater good. He then spends the entire novel trying to rationalize and deny his guilt. His is a story of under-responsibility, blaming fate, philosophy, anything to avoid owning the truth. Only when he finally confesses and repents does he begin to heal. Oedipus is crushed by guilt for what was not truly his fault. Raskolnikov avoids guilt for what clearly was. And most of us, in our own way, oscillate between these two extremes, either taking on too much shame or trying to escape it entirely. But Torah offers yet another way, a better way. It teaches us that we are not helpless victims of fate, nor are we autonomous authors of the world. Instead, we are co-authors with Hashem, responsible for our part, but never alone in shaping the story. Again, we turn to Proverbs. In chapter 16, verse 33, we're taught that the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Yes, we can cast lots, we can make choices, big and small, but God determines the outcome. That means we're never without agency and never beyond redemption. God doesn't erase our past, but rather he transforms it. He can turn even the broken chapters into a part of his greater redemptive arc. Each of us is given the opportunity to write a story worth telling. That's why we were born. And while we write it, we must remember that history itself is really his story. When we acknowledge his authorship, when we trust that the battle is his, and yet take responsibility for our role, then we live with both humility and hope. We no longer fear our mistakes nor deny them. We bring them before Hashem, and he sets us free to write something better with the time that we have. So yes, the world is a very frightening place. The forces arrayed against the Jewish people, against truth and righteousness, can feel immense. But we are not grasshoppers in our own eyes. We are the beloved children of the God of Israel. We do not walk into the battle alone. We prepare the horse, but the victory belongs to the Lord. So let us write the next chapter, not in fear, but in faith. Let us believe that even now Hashem is at work behind the scenes. And let us live with the confident knowledge that our stories, yours and mine, are still being written. And the best pages may yet lie ahead. Ken Yehi Ratzon. May this be God's will. This has been Paul Saul, Rabbi Paul Saul from Congregation Shuv Yisrael. It's been my honor to share with you. If you would like to see more Devar Torahs like this, please just go to umjc.org. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.